Yeah, I'm talking about joy this evening. And you always start off on the internet, don't you, having a look at various surveys and things. And there's been a survey on what things make people happy. And I just wondered what you might think was top of that list. In the top 10 things, what did people say, but say their top three? Any ideas? Chocolate. No, but I mean, wrong that it shouldn't have been there, I know. And if actually food didn't mention the feature at all, yeah. Friends and family was number one. Yep, they got most joy from their friends and family. Anyone? Wine, well, it would have been top of my list, but no. Pets, no, not on the list. Number two, believing or not, was meaningful work. I know, I was expecting a tumbleweed moment at that point. Number three was the mindset of positive thinking makes people happy and feel joy. I think they are strange people. interestingly, at seven was religion or personal faith. And at 10, television. I didn't think it was that reassuring that, you know, God scored three higher only than, you know, Albert Square particularly. But anyway, that was the top 10. Some of the highlights, the top one, as you guessed, was friends and family. And I guess when you talk to people about what things make them happy or what bring them joy, they would give you a whole variety of answers. I was talking to somebody recently who was asking me if I ever wanted to be a head teacher. And I just sort of said, well, I don't think so because it's quite a lot of stress, quite a lot of accountability. And he said, oh, yes, but I bet the money is good. And I said, well, yes, the money is good, but at what cost? I said, you know, it would take over your life more than the job does already. And that level of stress, I'm not sure that that's worth it. And then I said, and actually, money doesn't really motivate me. And he just looked abashed and said, what? Oh, it's the only thing that's ever motivated me. And I guess, you know, people have different things, don't they, in their world that bring them joy, that bring them happiness, that bring them contentment. And I was thinking, you know, what is joy? And is it different from happiness? Because I guess happiness is a sort of feeling you get, which is quite nice to feel. But when I started thinking about joy, I thought, is that not a stronger word? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and sure enough, it said a feeling of great pleasure, of delight, of jubilation, of triumph, of exultation. And I thought, yeah, those words are stronger than just a sort of slightly happy, merry sort of feeling. It's a real depth that's meant in the word joy that is different from just what makes you happy. And I guess I was also thinking that joy maybe leads to something that's a more physical reaction as a result as well. Whereas happiness might just be, oh yeah, that was nice, I feel happy. A moment of joy suggests there's something more intense that has like a physical response. And it might be jumping, or it might be dancing, or it might be cheering, or it might be hugging. When I first found out that I'd got some Robbie Williams tickets, this is going back some years, I was so ecstatic that I drove past the junction on the motorway to my friend's house because I was just in this world of my own, filled with joy. That wasn't perhaps the physical reaction I wanted, but there was definitely one there. You know, when you see the Wales supporters at the moment, you know, they don't just feel happy. They feel real deep-seated joy. And you can see it in their faces. You can see it in their body language. You know, you can see them jumping up and down, shouting and cheering. And it seems to me that joy is different from happiness. It's something deeper. Well, I guess, though, when we think about those things then that might bring us joy or happiness, and we look at earthly things, it also occurred to me that they're not very lasting. Things that bring earthly joy are temporary. So in our life, I guess our life goes along like this, doesn't it? But it's a bit like a roller coaster. There are moments when you might feel happiness or something, or even joy to that intensity. Then you might go along a bit more again and something might make you come down and it's sad. And then you might feel anxiety about something. But that most of the time, you probably just poodle along on a fairly normal existence, not feeling those extremes. And it also sort of feels like maybe those things that happen, moments of joy, moments of sadness, moments of anxiety, are often sort of out of our control. They're not things we always necessarily choose to come into our lives. They just sort of do come into our lives. And I sort of began to think that seems a bit unsatisfactory, really. It feels like then anything that perhaps is joy in our lives is temporary, is not lasting, is sort of unreliable, it isn't going to shape our lives forever. And I thought it was quite interesting that religion came so low down that list of things that bring joy and happiness, because actually out of all of them, I thought it's the only one that's lasting. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure they'll still be making series of EastEnders in years to come, and that could well go on forever. I mean, look at Coronation Street. But actually all the other things, even friends and family, are temporary, aren't they? Meaningful work, temporary. Positive thinking, temporary. And actually religion and personal faith is perhaps the only one of them that is different, because it has to it perhaps a permanence. So I had a look at the Bible and I thought, what does the Bible have to say about joy? Because if joy is different, if it's heavenly joy from that sort of temporary earthly joy, what is it like? And so there were just a few things that I wanted to share tonight about what the Bible says about joy. And the first one is that God brings joy. I don't know if anyone used to watch that program, Surprise, Surprise. I won't do my Cilla Black impression. I know you want to sing. I can see Dawn going, she wants to sing, Surprise, Surprise. And actually, a little bit of that program used to really wind me up. They're like, right, come on, look, you're on the show. You know that long-lost relative's round behind the back. Why are you crying? Why are you getting so happy about this? You know they're there. It's not a surprise at all now, because you wouldn't be on the show if they weren't here. But, you know, that show was defined by people smiling and tears and laughter, and that often coming as a sort of a situation that they weren't expecting, an element of surprise bringing that joy. And certainly in the Bible there are lots and lots of examples of people experiencing joy, particularly when they weren't expecting it. So a good example is Sarah, who had Isaac, a son to Abraham, even though she'd long given up on the idea that she was going to be able to have a baby, and he was really old and there was no sort of hope, really. She'd given up. And they called him Isaac, which interestingly, I didn't realise, means laughter, as a sort of sense of just how, although she'd longed for that thing for so long and had given up, God had surprised her with this sort of blessing, and that surprise gift, if you like, came with a sort of real joy. And I guess for us then, you know, it may be that we don't necessarily feel joy at this particular moment in our life. It doesn't mean, though, that we shouldn't have the expectation that God will bring us joy. And that might be in big things. It might be things we long for. Or it might just be that we need to recognise God just in the simpler things around us and not always have those high expectations of it having to be something really life-changing. But I think the message is that God wants to bring us joy. He wants to bless us. He smiles upon us. And in the same way that he did that for people in the Bible, that message is true for us today. He doesn't want the Christian world to be a world of people who walk around with sad frowns on their face. He delights in sharing his love with us. I think the second thing that the Bible made me think is that joy should be a really central part of our faith. You know, the wise men came to worship Jesus and they bowed down, and in their sense of sort of joy and awe, they gave presents. And actually, if we're Christians who really believe that God gave his son to die for us, and as a result of that, that we've got eternal life, then we ought to have smiles on our faces, oughtn't we? Because we've got that certainty. No matter what else is going on, that's that certainty, that joy, that certainty that those other things that bring happiness don't have. You know, whatever happens, that is the truth that we believe in. And I think there's a real challenge there to ask ourselves, how often in our Christian lives do we make time just to be joyful? Just to say thank you? Just to celebrate God's goodness? You know, sometimes at school, when we teach a unit on media, we make kids do an audit of their week, and they have to write down like how much time they've spent doing all these things, and it shows them sort of how much of their world, of their hours awake, are sort of immersed in some sort of media text. And actually, I was thinking about this, if I had to do an audit of my week, or even of my Christian year, how much of my time would be talking to God about please and things that I want, or tears and things that I'm upset about, and how much of that time would be time I've devoted just to saying thank you, just to spending time saying, God, you are great, just to saying to God, I want to celebrate everything you've done in the world, everything you've done for me. I have a feeling that my audit wouldn't look very healthy, and that probably those times of actually setting aside specifically just to say, I'm going to spend some time with God just to show him how much I delight in him and how much I celebrate him and how much I'm thankful to him. I think those times I don't structure into my life as much as I might do the times when I want to ask for things or weep for things. And I think sometimes the church is a bit guilty of that. Not wrongly. I mean, it's right that we should focus on perhaps our brokenness and our need for healing and our unworthiness. And it's right that we should come and make ourselves vulnerable in that way in church. But do we put the same focus and the same space, even in our church services, for celebration, for thanks, for dancing, for blessing? Do we spend a long time praying and requesting something and then when it happens go, oh, God's great, and then off we go? And actually we maybe spent years praying for that thing, but the moment of celebration and thanks is over in maybe 5 seconds. And I think that's one of the things that I was really challenged about when I started thinking about joy is, for lots of characters in the Bible, joy is a part of their relationship with God. And it really made me think, is it a central part of our relationship with God? I think one of the challenges is we tend to think that being joyful means you've got to be bouncing around like some Duracell bunny all the time, don't you? And that doesn't really feel possible. And actually there are times in our life when it doesn't feel like that's even possible because there's perhaps some really awful things going on for us. And that capacity to always be smiling, always be bouncy, just is too far away. But I'm not sure that that is what God's joy is about. I think it's more about a sort of mindset that we adopt, knowing that we are secure as God's children and that that message of salvation is there for us. And because of that, there's like a deep-seated salvation and confidence that just means we're on more of an even keel. And because of that, I think one other thing that the Bible tells us is that we shouldn't just keep that message of joy and that sort of sense of security and contentment to ourselves. You know, in the New Testament, there's lots of examples of characters going out and spreading the word. In Acts, Paul and Barnabas, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I think we don't have to be bouncing around. We don't have to even be smiling. But I think if we do believe in that message of salvation, then there's something in the way we interact with others that should be showing that joy, that message of salvation, that message of something that isn't temporary. You know, God made us for community and he wants us to share that with other people. Martin and I were laughing when I first started thinking about this talk because he said, oh, yeah, what are you talking on again? And I went, oh, joy. And we've both got a very good friend, Joy, who's a vicar. And I went, oh, maybe I'll just stand and talk about her for half an hour. And actually, when I thought about it, I thought, actually, you could do a whole sermon on our friend Joy. She's just the most amazing person. And the thing about Joy is that she's not always happy. Sometimes she's really down. She struggles with some quite big issues. She's a vicar, but she's a very human vicar. But the thing about Joy is that there's something in her that, without making it obvious, always puts others first. Always talks to people with a care and sensitivity as if they really matter. Really listens to people. And nothing's too much trouble for her, for anybody. There's something in her that somehow shows God's delight for people in the way she interacts with people. And actually, yeah, she is quite a bouncy, smiley person as well. But actually, the more I really thought about her, I thought, that's what really containing God's joy is. It isn't the loud, smiley part of her. It's the effect she has, the light in the world that she is, that through the way she just touches people in the simplest of ways, she shows that she's linked into this intense, permanent contentment. So I guess there's a challenge there as well. How much time do we put aside for celebrating God and rejoicing in God? But actually, would other people see that joy in our lives? And I don't mean by dancing down the street and cheering all the time. But would they see that we've got a message that's so good that we can't be too depressed? Because whatever else is going on, we have something which is amazing. Would they see that in us? I think the last story that I really thought about in the Bible was the story of the prodigal son. Because everything I've said so far has been very much about our feeling of joy. And actually, I didn't want to talk tonight without talking about how God delights in us. You know, in that story, the son comes back and the father embraces him and just forgets everything that he's done. And there's genuine delight in his return and genuine forgiveness for all that might have gone wrong before. And, you know, God has that level of joy in us, that level of delight in us. You know, regardless of what that son had done, the father welcomed him in and smiled at him. And that physical response that I talked about, that depth of joy and love, meant he hugged him and embraced him and threw him the party. And, you know, whatever we may feel, however broken we may feel, however unworthy we may feel, whatever things might stop us feeling joy towards God, he never stops delighting in us. There was a book written for children in need several years ago called What Makes Me Happy. I was going to read several things from it, but actually when I read through it, unfortunately it was a bit uninteresting because they all said family and friends. but there was one really nice one from Linda Bellingham. And it's not religious, but she said this: "What makes me happy is hearing the dawn chorus. It is so full of hope, it makes me realise I have another day ahead to get things right." And although she wasn't saying something that was specifically religious, I sort of thought that was almost the essence, though, of God's delight in us. That he loves us so much that that fresh chance, that new day, that new dawn is always there. It doesn't mean that we will always be happy. It doesn't mean that we'll have everything we want. It doesn't mean that we'll always be contented. But what we believe in is something permanent. It's a deep-seated security that God delights in us, and that can't be changed. That we will live with him forever, and that in him we'll always get a chance to start again. And if that isn't a message that people out there should somehow be able to see in us and the way we live our lives, then I don't know what is. Let's pray. Father, at times it may be really hard to feel joyful. And Lord, I thank you that in those times you walk with us and you know our pain and our sadness and our suffering. But Lord, I thank you that however unworthy we may feel, however broken we may feel, that you delight in us. You feel joy over us. And I thank you, Lord, that we know that we have that message of something permanent, Lord, that brings us joy. It's not one of those temporary things of the world, Lord, like money or television or food, Lord. It's a permanent confidence that you loved us so much that you gave your son for us and that we have eternal life with you. And I just really pray, Lord, that we will seek to make that the center of our faith, that sense of that amazing gift, and that those that meet us in our daily lives will see that there's something of a deep-seated joy in us in the way that we touch other people. That there is a deep-seated contentment, Lord, that we have that is different from those around us in the world. I thank you, Lord, for joy. I thank you, Lord, for positive feelings. I thank you, Lord, for contentment and all that you give us. And I just pray, Lord, that as we go out into this week, we will continue to walk more closely with you with a joyful heart. Amen.